Good morning. We looked at that text, 1 through 13, and verses 1 through 9 are majorly challenging, and it's not that I shy away, but it's that we don't have enough time in a single hour worship service to really unpack that one. That would be about a 2-hour Bible study just on those 9 verses. And I'd love to do that sometime, because it's actually kind of an exciting verse. It's actually a verse that when you start exploring it more will help you to really open up the gospel. But we're going to stick with 10 through 13 today. And in this, just in those few verses, we have really recognizing who is the master of our lives. We have conversations about stewardship, and we have some conversations about creativity and wisdom. That's a lot just in a few verses. The Bible is kind of rich that way. Well, I want to start with that final verse that we had. It said, you can't have two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. You're going to serve one and ignore the other, despise the other. You can't have two masters. And a lot of times, we, because we're good Christians and we read the Bible, we always get on the side that's the good side, right? So we always go, I know who my master is. I know who my master is. It's God. I'm not on the side of wealth. A lot of us, you know, we're in fairly challenging financial straits to prove that. We're not. No, we look at, we say, God's the master. God's the master. I heard a joke, however, that helps to actually, in a humorous way, at least I think it's humorous, highlight the challenges that we face as Christians trying to serve God. So the joke is, how many Methodists does it take to change a light bulb? And then you say, and then they say, change the light bulb? My grandmother gave that light bulb. Sometimes tradition or heritage kind of gets in the way of doing the ministry we want, right? But who's more important here? God's more important. Oh, right. I was listening in my office, and I was preparing my heart for the service, and I heard the band start up and practice, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. And I thought that right there is the essence. To be able to truly see God. To truly see God. To recognize God. In the midst of all of our circumstances, God is there with us to recognize God in the midst of all of the challenges. Our prayer lifted up an important aspect that is part of the heart of this scripture, and it said, help us to trust our leaders. Help our leaders to see you and to walk with you, and help us too to see you and walk with you. To trust each other is huge. It is huge. And this is part of what we struggle with. And when we don't fully trust people, then we want to control it, right? And we want to micromanage it. And we can't do our ministries well if we're not trusting each other. We can't live in relationship with each other if we're not trusting each other. You know this in your homes. You know this in your work. And it is true in the church as well. All of these places we have to work on seeing God clearly there with us and trusting God and learning how to trust each other. I was young, we lived in a small town that had a K through 8 school and then the high school. And at that time, finances were different in the schools. We didn't have a huge school, but we had a music teacher who came around to every class every week and then also taught band. And band started in the fifth grade. And so when you got to the fifth grade, if you wanted to be in the band, then you could go off and start learning to play your instruments and such. And I remember many wonderful stories my brothers and sisters would share about band. And I remember that my brother, who was quite short for his age, I was actually 5 years younger and taller than he was. And I remember that he wanted to play the sousaphone because it was the biggest instrument. And I remember my mom sewing corduroy covers on the, like, the Sears and Roebuck catalog or the Ward's catalog to make a cushion for him so it could sit, because, you know, there's a, but he couldn't sit in the chair and reach the mouthpiece at the same time. So he had these to sit on, and so he could get up high enough to hit the mouthpiece. And lo and behold, eventually he grew into that instrument. Not a huge guy, but he grew to where he could sit in the chair without a booster seat. And I was in the marching band and was very proficient at that. I remember lots of great stories. And I was looking forward to the fifth grade when I would get to start band. I heard all these great stories. Don't you know, we moved when I was in the fourth grade. And we got to the new school, and they didn't have quite as much, a new town, new school, didn't have quite as much of a music program. But in the fifth grade, they had an orchestra teacher, and you could take orchestra. Now, my desire was to play saxophone. I thought saxophone was so cool. I really wanted to play saxophone, but that was not an option. So fifth grade, the only choice I had was some kind of a stringed instrument, so I picked violin. So my family bought me a violin, and I can remember my dad bearing patiently while he was out working in the yard and I was serenading him. I think he's trying not to be too embarrassed with it, because, you know, like the first couple weeks, and it just sounded horrible. And even I knew I sounded horrible, but it was the best I could do. And I would confess, I never really got very good at the violin. It's pretty challenging to get it to play right. You got to get your fingers in the right spot, and you actually have to get your bow in the right spot too, and changing it around. I wasn't that good at it. I never got very good. I tried the viola as well. I wasn't too good at that. I tried the bass, and that was really actually pretty fun. I really liked the bass. That was my most fun one of those. But I was really looking forward to seventh grade, because when you got to seventh grade junior high school, then they had band, and then I could take saxophone. So when we got to seventh grade, then I wanted to take band, and I asked my mom, because they had to sign off on your electives, you know, and she said, no. She said, you don't practice your violin. Why would I think you're going to practice a saxophone? Now, I thought that was really unfair, because I never really wanted to play the violin. I always wanted to play a saxophone. But the truth is, when I got into high school, there was an opportunity to take beginning band, and I took it, and I had a loaner saxophone, and you know what? I never practiced it. I barely got any good at the scales at all. I mean, like C. I almost got C. I never got anything else. I actually, and my mom, you know, actually had some wisdom there. I thought it was really unfair, but she was right. And that scripture rings out, whoever is trustworthy in little will be trustworthy in a lot. You know, what you do on the small is what you're going to do on the big. And you might think, I don't need to mess with the small, let's jump to the big, I'll be able to handle it. But the truth is, if you can't handle the small, you can't handle the big. And you got to keep your eyes on God. So we say, God, we want, and I've been hearing wonderful and exciting ideas of the ministries that we want here at this church. And I lift that in prayer. I lift that, and I say, God, we want this exciting program to happen. And God whispered in my ear, take care of what you got now. And then we'll see how it grows. Ooh. It wasn't exactly the answer I was hoping for. I don't think it was the answer any of us were really hoping for. We were hoping God was going to say, zingo, and here it is. This ministry, it's just going to unfold for you. Another confession I have to make is that I personally love to have a yard with a beautiful garden. I love that. But do not misunderstand me. I don't care at all about gardening. I don't like tilling the soil. Planting the seeds is kind of fun. Watering, you know, I prefer an automatic system. I really don't like weeding. And to be honest, I'm not even that good about picking the produce or making bouquets of the flowers. I've lived my whole life with people who are allergic to flowers. So, but I love to look out there and see a beautiful garden. You see, that's part of the challenge. We had a really nice house with a huge backyard, and we never had a garden in it because no one in my family wanted to work that garden. None of us are good at that in my little nuclear family. I just loved when my dad was doing childcare because he would take care of the garden. It was beautiful. He'd take the kids out to work with him. It was really nice. His backyard is gorgeous. Gorgeous garden. I love to visit. I love to sit in the hot tub in the morning and look at the garden. And I think about this when we lift up our prayers, loving God, truly we want these amazing ministries. And God's like, and who's going to be out in the garden? You can't sit in the hot tub, Jeanette, and look at the ministries flourish. It doesn't work that way. If you're going to be trustworthy in a little thing, then it's going to become a big thing. If you're going to work at the smaller ministries, they will develop and grow into bigger ministries. All of us together listening to that message from God. We want stuff that's not here right now, but it's not going to get here by sitting in the hot tub and thinking about it. My husband likes to point out that a lot of people miss a lot of miracles because it just looked like a lot of hard work. That God works miracles through us, not around us and in spite of us. Usually it comes through us. More than we ever thought could happen will happen through us when we trust God and when we see who God is and what God is and keep our priorities straight. But that vision of who God is and what God is sometimes seems a little elusive, but we know how to control wealth. So we try to control that. And sometimes we even pretend like our controlling that is a really good stewardship effort. We're being really good stewards by micromanaging every little thing. Okay, could be true. Being frugal is a good thing. This is good. But there also is that element that for so many people, a lack of trust is at the heart of our frugality when it comes to giving to the church. You go back in the Bible, and the standard of giving was a tithe, 10%. Now, I encourage people to give a tithe. I personally give a tithe. You all vote on what my salary package is. You know what my salary is. And 10% of that I give back to the church. That's the standard. I would encourage you to give a tithe to the church. Try it. 10%. Gross. Not net. Biblical standard is gross. It doesn't say the word gross in there. It doesn't say the word net. It says first fruits off the top. Yeah. Gross. 10%. Okay. Try it. Because you know what? I think that if we really tried that, and if we had a congregation full of people who actually gave 10% of their growth, we wouldn't have so many conversations about how to make ends meet. I really think that we wouldn't have those conversations. I think that would be a starting place. I do it. I encourage you to do it. Are times tight financially? You know they are. For all of us. I'm not rolling in the big bucks. But that doesn't matter, because the work of the church is the first priority. Sharing the love of Jesus is the top priority. Because realistically, on a long-term basis, the world will become a better place because of the ministries of the church. So it's important. I encourage you to tithe. Now, I would be really excited if, you know, it was kind of like in the old days, because realistically, the way the system was set up before was that your tithe went to the priest. But it doesn't do that anymore. You guys set my salary. You know what it is. I don't get any more. If you guys all tithe, I don't get a bonus for that or anything. I get what I get. You guys decide on it. I get it. That's it. And I tithe on it. So when you give me a raise, hey, it goes back to the church, right? And to the government for the taxes. And eventually, you know, part of it. But I encourage people to tithe. I encourage people to trust enough that God will provide the resources that we need. And then all of us working together look at the resources we have and we get creative about what we can do with them. That's where the frugality comes in. Not in trying to get by with less and less and less, but trying to make sure we make good decisions with the resources that we have. I have been hearing some wonderful conversations about ways to restructure how we're functioning, ways to re-examine the use of the resources that will open up new ministry possibilities. It is really exciting. You're going to be hearing more about it in the weeks and months ahead. We are going to be having a lot of fun. It is an exciting time. It is an exciting time. But you can't just keep doing things the way they're doing, because, see, one of the things is when you come as a new pastor, you hear a lot of people telling you their hopes and dreams, and usually they also share with you some of their disappointments. And we've already talked about this before. Your disappointments aren't going to change if you don't change what you're doing. So, for example, if people say to me, we really want to have more children and youth, I think of that as the garden. Okay, we want to see them out there. We don't actually want to restructure how we're doing stuff or work with them. We want to see them out there, and we'll sit in the hot tub and look at them and go, yay, children. No, it's not going to work that way. It doesn't work that way. You know, because children and youth are precious, but they're not vegetables. And they're going to demand a little more attention, and they have a little greater need. And you know what? And it's a bigger reward also. You can't just look at it. You have to restructure your values about things and how we do stuff. I've heard some wonderful conversations. I'm looking forward to it. Oh, you guys didn't get your bulletin covers. Oh, no, there was a game on your bulletin cover for you. Shoot. Well, the second service gets to have a game. You guys don't get it. Okay, you got a piece of paper? If you got a piece of paper, I'll tell you the game. Kids, find a piece of paper. You guys are going to have fun with this game. Yeah. For today, I'll say you can use the offering envelopes. Piece of paper right in front of you, huh? Yeah. Okay, so here's the game. You're going to have three rows of three dots. So it's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So it makes a square, 3 by 3, three rows of three dots. Yes. You have a bulletin, the other one? Yeah, but that's the one. Here, let me borrow that for just a minute so I can show people. Yeah. Same bulletin cover. Okay, so here you go. I didn't give this to the AV team because I said it's on the bulletin covers. Sorry. Okay, three rows of three dots. That's it. Okay, now the game is this. You're going to put your pencil down. Ultimately, you're going to draw four straight lines, and you're going to connect all of the dots with four straight lines. But you're going to put your pencil down on the paper and never pick it up again. You can't retrace any lines, but you can intersect. Okay? So put your pencil on the paper using four straight lines. Don't pick your pencil up again. Put it down. Don't pick it up again. Using four straight lines, not retracing any, but you can intersect. Connect all of the dots. Okay? That's your game. Four lines, and you're going to connect all of the dots. All right? It might take you a little while. Some people get it. Some people never will. It's okay. Not everybody is, you know, thinks in those terms. But the point of the exercise is that God has given us all these resources, and we want to accomplish amazing and beautiful ministries, and God wants us to accomplish amazing and beautiful ministries. And some of that is happening, and some of it has yet to be developed. And sometimes the only way to develop them is to look at it all in a new way. Are you having any luck? Okay, so let me... Sometimes the only way to develop the new ministries is to think outside the box. Think outside the box. Because when we see those little dots in a square like that, our minds have been conditioned and trained to see a box, right? And we're trying to work within that box, and it doesn't work. You can connect all of the dots with four straight lines, but you can't do it keeping inside the box. A couple of those lines are going to go beyond the box. Okay? That's all I'm going to tell you. If you haven't figured it out yet, then you're going to have to talk to other people who did figure it out. And that's how it is with our ministries, too. That there's challenges. God has given us the resources we need. We need to keep our focus on what are the ministries we're trying to do. What does God really want for us? Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. We want to see you, and we want our ministries to be a mirror of that amazing grace and glory. And we know you've given us what we need, so help us then to see it in a new way so that we can accomplish beautiful and wonderful ministries that are a true glory to you, that the world will be a better place and this community will be enriched, and through our actions, indeed, the world will receive a blessing because we have been those shrewd stewards of the resources you have given us. Will you join me in prayer? Loving God, we ask that you would help us to open the eyes of our hearts so that we can truly see you in all of your glory, and that we could see the possibilities and potentials in the ministries we have. We thank you so much for this community of faith. We thank you for the way the worship and the fellowship enriches our lives and brings out the best in us and draws us closer to you. We thank you so much for that. We ask that you would help us to be creative with the resources you have given to us so that our life and our lifestyle of stewardship would be a source of empowerment for the ministries here. And that using the resources you have given to us, the people that you bring here, the buildings that have been provided, our financial resources, all of these things will come together in a beautiful reflection of your grace, your love, your glory, and that all who gather, we who are here now and all of those others who are hungering to know you, all who come, will taste your goodness. These things we pray in the precious name of Jesus and the power of your Holy Spirit.
Amen. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God.